I want to talk with you a little bit this evening about the encouragement to endure, In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's as far as I'll read. And what a blessing the Word of God to have these words from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians believers had suffered a lot of persecution in their days from the Jews and even from their own countrymen, other Thessalonians. Paul said, but being fully persuaded of the gospel and, the actual power of the gospel that worked in their lives, it was evident. It was evident that they would not turn aside from it. They had endured a lot of things. Things that a lot of people would quit. A lot of people would have just give up, threw up their hands, but not the Thessalonians. Why? Because the power of the power of faith in the gospel. And that's power, church. The power of faith in the gospel. You see, we put our faith in the gospel of Christ. I mean, If we don't really believe this, then what are we doing here? If we don't believe in Him, then why do I pray? Why do I even pray? Why do we read this book? Why do we endure the things that we do? That's an evidence that you do believe, and that the power of this gospel is working in your life. And to have that working in your life and in my life is a miracle. Part of the miracle of salvation. It's the miracle of God's amazing grace working in you and I. Working that new creature that we've been made. We've been made a new creature. Listen, not everybody knows what that is. There are a lot of people that may even think that they have that, that don't have that. Why? Because all things are not new. That Christ promised that the power of His gospel, what it would do for the sinner to change them, amen, to change them and to make them a new creature in Christ Jesus, it has not happened. But it happened to these Thessalonians. And when the Apostle Paul, he's talking to them, look at their life. He, in verse 3, he said, "We are bound to thank God always for you." I mean, he was thanking God every day for them. Why? He said, "Because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Your faith groweth, it abounded beyond measure. That's what it means. You remember when Peter said, "If these things be in you and abound," well, that was happening in the Thessalonians' lives. Those things were in them and they were abounding. Listen, that is a person that's enjoying their Christian life in spite of what's happening in the world. Somebody that is letting these things abound in their life. Their relationship with the Lord is getting closer. It's growing. Their love for the church and the brethren, it is growing. Their love for the Word, it is growing. Their desire to pray, it is growing. They have that in them and it is abounding. Paul said to these Thessalonians that their faith groweth exceedingly. And listen, you and I, there's a danger of us somewhere along the road after we get saved, to kind of our, you know, that little tube on the side of your tire in your vehicle, somebody can just kind of push and you, and you hear the air coming out of your tire. I mean, it's kind of like that in our Christian walk with the Lord. Suddenly, we've got a leak somewhere because we just kind of, you know, we know we're saved. We're a part of the church. But I'm not enjoying the journey like I should be enjoying the journey if these things were abounding in my life. And you and I need to guard that. And if we're not enjoying the journey, you and I should find out what it is that's causing us not to enjoy the journey. I mean, you said, "Brother Mark, you don't know what I'm going through." I don't know what they were going through, but they were going through tribulation, troubles. They were enduring. Listen, you can endure more than you realize if you've got the joy of the Lord. Amen? If these things are abounding in you. And so Paul said, "We thank God for you. Your faith groweth exceedingly." He saw something in them that he said, they've got it. Amen? I mean, these people, they're enjoying living for Christ in spite of what was happening in their life. And he said, not only their faith groweth exceedingly, the charity, he said, of every one of you. Now listen, he went from a congregational effort of faith. That's what he's talking about. Your faith, I mean, the church as a whole, this body, the Thessalonians, groweth exceedingly. Well, that's good when they can grow together like that. Amen? And we need to be growing together as a church. This church doesn't need to be divided and the members herein on anything. We should be growing together in our faith. Doing what we do together by faith. Amen? And it needs to be growing. But not only that togetherness, but that individuality, the charity of every one of you. Individuals. The charity of every one of you. That's their love. the charity, the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. How can you and I be be encouraged to endure? I'm going to encourage you to love one another more. Love one another. Let that abound in you. That's what Paul said these Thessalonians, their charity toward one another. That was not just saying they loved one another. That was loving one another and doing things to show one another that they really loved one another. I mean, that's what the church, that's how we should be acting among one another. Amen? That our love is abounding toward one another. That my love for you is growing more and more. Not that I just say it, but that we do it. That we show it to one another. That we show that love, that charity, that love in action. That love that's working, amen? Every one of you, I mean all of us, listen, every child of God present doing that. I was sitting in that meeting the other day, and I thought to myself, I don't know what was being said, I can't even remember. But it was like the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and said, how would it be if every member of the church, every member, I mean every one of them, was 100% for God. Amen? Here to worship, here to adore Christ, here to give to the Lord. Amen. Here to love one another. Here to reach the world for Christ. Here to reach our neighbors down the road. What if every member inside this assembly was 100% on that route? What would it be like? Well, I'll tell you what, church, I think I know just a little bit of what it might be like. We may come in here sometimes and the Lord so pleased with our hearts. Are you listening to me? That we may not be able to contain the whole of what God wants to dump in our lap that day. Amen? I mean, listen, the Lord wants you and I to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love each other. Amen? Love our neighbor as ourselves. But they had that charity. Each one of them had that. Listen, you have to work on your personal Christianity. Your personal walk. You can't gauge it on somebody else. You have to be responsible for your relationship with Christ and your love. If your love's cold, then you need to talk to the Lord. You say, well, it's called so-and-so. You know, no, your love, listen, is your responsibility. Your peace. Amen. Your relationship with Christ. Amen? I mean, I wish I could pin all my problems off on everybody else, but I can't. I've got somebody that I can go to at any time, any day of the week, day or night, my Lord and my Savior, and say, Lord, I don't want to be cold. Lord, I don't want my love waxing cold. Lord, I don't want my desire to be slipping away. Lord, I don't want my worship to get to where it's stagnated. Lord, I always want to be able to lift my heart with my hand unto Thee, O God, as David said. Amen. Praise to the Lord, to give Him glory and praise, to want to be an obedient child. Amen. And so he said, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. I mean, you talk about a testimony that Paul could say, that's the way you need to be.
That's the way a church ought to be. Listen, we all need to have somebody that we can look at and say, he or she encourages me to want to do more for God, to want to be closer to Christ. Brother Tony Finney, at the end of the meeting, he had Brother Milton Taylor come up to the front of the platform. And Brother Finney, he just started crying, talking about how many years he'd been there and how long Brother Taylor had been a member of that church. And you could tell a man like Brother Taylor, you know, it's just making him very uneasy. Because he's a man of God like any man of God. He don't want no attention on him or glory on him. But he stood there and he looked at his pastor spoke these words to the congregation. He said, it's untelling the blessings that this church has had and has been a part of because of the prayers of this one man. Because of the effort of this one member. Listen, and Brother Taylor, listen, he's an evangelist out of that church, but as much as that, he is a faithful member of that church. Of that church. And to hear those words, I thought, that's how we all need to be. A benefit to the body. Amen, to the local church, to be a benefit. Not that the, you know, lights would shine above my name. No, let it be an unknown prayer warrior. Amen. God's got it on record. God's got crowns for his children. Amen. And the day will declare it. Amen. Let the Lord hand them out. Amen. Let the Lord hand them out. But be everything. Listen, be that example. Church, be that other churches look and say, that's the way we need to be. When people come walk through them doors, they say, this is what a church is supposed to be like. God's presence working in our lives. You and I fully persuaded of the gospel, that the power of that gospel work in our lives. And so they endured. Paul said in verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. What are we glorying in? For your patience and faith. They didn't just get everything flopped into their... They exercised patience. Endurance. They endured. They patiently endured. And faith. Believed. Listen, church. I know sometimes valleys can get low, real low. And I know sometimes trying to climb to the top of the mountain takes almost more rigor out of you than you feel like you have. If you're in the stormy, I know sometimes it gets to where you think the water is coming over my boat. But if you'll patient, endure, faith, believe, continue believing, patiently believing, patiently waiting, in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, in all of them, because, listen, in every tribulation and persecution, we're going to have to endure it. They're going to come. And how we respond Listen, there have been times in my life where all I could do every time somebody, how you doing? I'm not. It's bad. Just, you know, never a faithful word when I should say, I'm saved and Christ has his eyes on me. Amen. And I know that's easier. It's always easier preaching than living. Amen. It always is. But that's what Christ wants you in, wants out of us, to patiently endure with faith. Amen. Through all of our persecutions and tribulations, because they will come. You and I are going to have tribulations and persecutions. Why? It's going to strengthen our faith. It'll exercise our faith and our endurance. Amen. It's like a runner. You start out and maybe you can run wide open for 25 yards before you start kind of slowing down. And as you continue running, then maybe you can run 50 yards before you start slowing down. And as you continue exercising day after day, sweating and pushing, you can maybe run 100 yards flat without slowing down at all. Are you listening to me? Why? Because you become stronger and stronger and stronger. And Paul talked about us as an athlete, our Christian life as a race, as a wrestler, as a soldier. Amen? And we're to endure, endure, endure. And the more and more, listen, I can remember my brother saying the first time he put that rucksack on his back. Have you seen some of that stuff them boys carry? I mean, it looks like they've got a 200-pound fat man strapped to their back. Big old ruck. He said, I thought my knees was going to buckle. And then we had hike with those things. We'd hike with them. And I think, what in the world? Why are we having to do this? This is useless. To hike out in the sun, in the heat, fully dressed, with this big pack on our back. Why are we doing that? Making ourselves ready. Making ourselves ready. You can't wait for the war and then decide, wonder if I can wear this all day. Amen? You've got to patiently, 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 day by day, endure the persecutions and the trials that come your way. The tribulation. It's there for you and I, for our benefit, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Listen, all that you and I suffer, we're suffering for His kingdom. I was talking to somebody the other day. He's a young Christian man down here in this meeting. And he said, boy, sometimes, he said, living for God can be hard. I said, I understand what you're saying. I said, but you know, the Lord said that there's a verse, that, you know, His ways are not grievous. And not as, I mean, it all depends on who's in them and how you look at them. Amen? And, yes, sometimes it may seem to the flesh especially very hard. But to the spiritual man, oh, it's a breeze. It's a breeze. Amen? All that we do, listen, if we suffer anything, we're suffering it for the kingdom of Christ. If I do anything, we do it for Christ and His kingdom. If I suffer anything in the flesh, It's so that I could have a testimony for him. Amen? That I could be believable. That someone might recognize Christ in me. Or Christ in you. And he said, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you and to you who are troubled, rest with us. So all through here, he's talking about patience. He's talking about endurance. He's talking about trouble, being troubled. And he said, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us how? How do we rest? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Listen, the rest is faith in his gospel. No matter what trouble we face, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. He's coming and he's coming soon. Amen. All this mess, listen, you see on the TV that trouble us, how the world just getting worse and more wicked and more ungodly, and it seems like sinners are abounding and their way is they are taking over. Amen. The Lord's coming. Amen. The Lord said, when you see these things, lift up your heads and look. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Rest with us. Rest in that promise of his coming. I can rest. You can rest. Rest in the middle of the trouble. Amen. Them disciples that day on the stormy water, you know what they could have done? You know what they should have done? They should have just found a good place up there and throwed their feet up and just rest through that whole storm. Why? Because the Lord, and you know this, church had already told them, we're going to the other side. We're already going through the other side. And I looked at that verse, and boy, I just kept looking at that, and just kept looking at that. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus, it tells us when he's coming. You say, Brother Mark, when is he coming? Exactly. When is when he's coming? When the Lord Jesus, there's a time. When, there's a definite, amen. When, one of these days, the when is going to be here. The when will come. The day, the when, that the Apostle Paul was telling them, rest in it. Rest when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's the angels of his mighty power. That's Michael and all of them. What are they going to do? They're going to come, and you talk about giving the devil and all his hordes of time. They're going to. Taking vengeance on them. In flame and fire. You talk about a judgment. What we suffer here for Christ, we should rejoice. Why? Because it's nowhere near the suffering that they'll face. Or that we would have if we were against Christ. We're suffering a little bit right now. But our day's coming. We are not going to suffer anymore. When's that going to happen? You got the answer right there. When? When is when that's going to happen? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Shall be revealed from heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven, the Bible said. the Lord Himself. That's the rapture. See, then the Bible says in another place, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. That's the revelation. He said in one place, we beseech you by our gathering together unto Him. Our gathering together unto Him. Amen? That's chapter 2 and verse 1. Our gathering together unto Him. When Christ shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him. There's a definite rapture. The Lord coming by Himself, and then the Lord coming back with us. It's two different phases of the second coming. Maybe three, but I know at least two, the rapture and the revelation. Amen? And I believe that, and I rest in that. Amen. And you rest in that. It could be today. You wake up tomorrow and trouble's in your lap, just remember the Lord could come at any moment. At any minute, at any second, at any time. So I want to encourage you to endure, as we will endure. Endure through believing. Believing, and believing is resting. Trusting, resting. Trusting, resting. To rest. You know what it is to rest, to really rest. Do you trust? Do you have you trusted Him? Have you trusted Him? Are you trusting Him? Live for Him. Live for Him, church. Let your love abound. Let your faith continue to grow exceedingly. Enjoy the Christian life. Enjoy our time here together as a body doing what He has called us to do until He comes. Amen? Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done.